Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for this opportunity again. Pastor Godman, thank you again. Thank you and your dear wife. And please, I want us to honor Pastor Yemi David. I was so blessed. Thank you, sir. We really honor you. Thank you sincerely. Hallelujah. Let me just lend my voice to the things that he shared. I'm telling you, for most people, I pray that God will help us understand the gravity of the things that he said. Let me encourage you to go back and listen to that teaching again. The fear of the Lord. Very powerful key to manifesting the glory of God. I just felt stirred to add one scripture, and then we'll be seated. Hosea 4 and verse 7. While he was teaching, that was the scripture that came to my heart when he began to talk about, you know, not allowing growth and increase to affect your passion for God. Let's read together. 1, 2, read. One more time. You see, increase brings with it possibilities. There are certain works of the flesh and certain sins that are not affordable at certain levels. So you don't commit them, not because you cannot be a victim. It's too expensive for that level of living. So Satan suspends that temptation until you grow. He will revisit you again when you can now afford it. Are we together now? There are certain things David could not afford. He was not free from it. It was just too expensive for his current level. The Bible says, as they increased. So you add it to your prayers, connecting to the sermon. The Lord, as you lift me, let my lifting not become a cost to my destiny. Let my lifting not become a cost to your program. In fact, can we just turn it to prayer in 1 minute? Let my lifting not become a cost, not to my destiny, not to your program. A serious believer is praying, as they increased. As you prosper me, let it not become a curse to my destiny. As you increase my influence, as you open doors, as you give me a job, as you give me children, let my increase not become a curse to my destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Again, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. The Bible declares that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding unto the simple. We have come with our hearts opened, malleable, and ready to receive and learn. Speak to us, O God. Indeed, may we be elevated by light. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Please be seated. God bless you. And so without wasting time, I'll just take off from where Pastor Yemi David stopped. Yesterday, we began to consider for a topic ordained for glory. And I told us it would be a two-part series. We looked at part one yesterday, the mandate to glorify God. John 15:16, the Bible says that we have been chosen and ordained to go and bring forth fruit, and that our fruit will abide. And we considered a few things. One, we looked at our corporate ordination in Christ, that every believer who comes into Christ, beyond our individual, unique, distinct assignments, every believer has, we have a corporate ordination. And that ordination is that eventually and experientially, our lives should manifest the glory of God. I told us that manifesting the glory of God is beyond a desire. It's a mandate. It's an ordination. Number two, we looked at the tragic reality of many that in spite of all the provisions that have been made available through Christ and in Christ, the sad reality is that many believers are still far short of God's expectation. The Bible says, man that is in honor and knoweth not is like a beast in the field that perisheth. And then number three, I reminded us again that it is the responsibility of every believer, according to Psalm 86 and verse 12, to give glory to God through your life, with your life, by your life, from your life. God deserves to be glorified. Glorifying God is not something you do if you want to. It's a call. It's a mandate. It's beyond a desire. And I told us yesterday that to the believer, our desires are only fruitful to the degree to which they connect to revealing Jesus and birthing the program of God. Meaning, if you cry for prosperity, for increase, for influence, that prayer is vain from the economy of God's kingdom until there can be a connecting point. You must be able to translate how that desire directly glorifies God. To the believer, all things must glorify God. Are we together? All things at all. Your increase, whatever it is that God brings to your life, is intended to give Him glory. And if that becomes your template, then answered prayer becomes almost a guarantee. Are we together now? Answered prayer becomes a guarantee because God knows that it is not a risk to the kingdom prospering you. It is not a risk to the kingdom opening doors for you. It is not a risk to the kingdom anointing you, because the entirety of your life revolves around bringing Him glory. It is a very powerful secret when all about you becomes a tool for the revelation of His glory. God will not withhold anything from you again. Perhaps you may have heard me teach that many years ago the Lord told me, He said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. That's it. If you are committed to hiding behind the cross and to let men see me, then there is nothing I will not give you. Do you know why you're not afraid of depositing your money in the bank? Among many factors, is called ease of withdrawal. The reason why you can easily deposit your money in the bank without being afraid is because, at least, as much as you know, you can go to the bank any day, any time, or the ATM and withdraw your money. The bank never argues that it's your money, even though they use it. You see, they leave that impression upon you that it is your money. You have your account, you can check the balance on your phone, even though it's numbers, it's comforting to you that the numbers are consistent. So you can go to the bank and say, I need 100,000 naira of my money, and in minutes, seconds with ATM, you withdraw your money. The moment God sees that it's not difficult for Him to derive glory from you, like you deposit money in a bank, He can deposit weights of glory upon you. Because at any point He makes a demand of it, He knows it still remains His own. Are we together? And so we now considered why the limitations. That's where we stopped last night. We said that God is a God of patterns. You see, remember, according to Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6, that possibilities in the kingdom are connected to divine patterns, and that every time the glory of God manifests in a life and through a life, it comes as an attestation to the fact that certain divine patterns have been kept. If the glory of God is revealed in your family, revealed in your finances, revealed in ministry, they all speak to the fact that you have walked in keeping, in adherence to certain divine patterns. We considered for a study Moses and the tabernacle in the wilderness, how that the Lord kept coming once and again, chapter 25, then we went to chapter 40, insisting that Moses would build according to pattern. And the Bible says, until he hit the last peg according to pattern. And then the Shekinah of God came and filled that whole place. So if your life is bankrupt of the glory of God, among the many reasons to diagnose that condition is that you have not understood the patterns of the kingdom, nor obtained grace to adhere to them. So that leads me to part two, ordained for glory. We'll be looking at making the glory manifest. Making the glory manifest. It'll be a very brief session and then we'll pray. Habakkuk chapter 2, please, and verse 14. Part two will be considering making the glory manifest. I want to show you the dynamics now of manifesting the glory, because we are talking about shining, manifesting the glory of God, becoming sources of light to let the world see what it is that God has deposited within us. Let's read Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14 in concert. 1, 2, go. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. One last time. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, as the waters. Hallelujah. Right, so a few points to establish this morning. Number one, God does not just desire that we be carriers of His glory, but that the glory is made visible and made manifest through our lives. That's the first thing I want to establish this morning. That God's goal, God's desire is not just that we be carriers of His glory, but that that glory that is locked up within us, deposited within our spirits, that it is made manifest, it is made visible. I told us yesterday, it comes from the Greek word doxazo, the unfolding, the displaying of glory that is locked up within. The closest example is what we call the unveiling of a bride. Are we together? So when you veil the bride and then they say unveil the bride, the man saw her before he asked her out, but now they say unveil the bride for both you and everybody to see. It's a way of according glory and honor to her. That's what it means, doxazo, the revelation of what God has deposited within you so that the world can see, and like the Bible says, to glorify your Father which is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, when you begin to read from verse 13 and then down to 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and in seeing your good works they will glorify. The word glorify there is the word praise, is the word worship, is the word reverence. It's a very complicated word. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So settle this for a fact, that God does not just desire that we be carriers of His glory, but that that glory in all its ramification is made visible and is made manifest in our lives. Let me back up for a while and help put perspective to our definition of glory. Now, the word glory, when you study through the Hebrew and the Greek lexicon, there are many words that are translated glory, but for the purpose of our discussion, there are two that matter to us. The Hebrew is kabod. Kabod. Some will say kavod. They will change the B for V. But it means to honor. It means respect. The word kabod means honor. It means respect. It means distinction. Generally speaking, it is a measure of the worth or value which results in praise. So when we talk about glory from the Hebrew rendition, kabod, what we mean is a vetting of the distinctive features in a person or in a thing that makes that person worthy of praise. Are we together? So for you to understand the glory of a person or a thing, you have to investigate the attributes that makes that thing expensive. Are we together? The glory, for instance, of a gadget is seen in the features. What feature in that gadget, say a laptop, why will a laptop be costing $3 million, $5 million? So you have to investigate what features in that laptop makes it that expensive. Are we together? So when we talk about the glory of God, we talk of a thorough investigation into all the features that are resident in God that makes Him worthy of praise, worthy of worship, worthy of adoration, worthy of your loyalty. Who understands so far? So that the idea of glory does not become abstract to us. So when I'm talking about glory, I'm talking about a probing into all the features, the goodness of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God. Are we together? His might, his omniscience, his omnipotence, all of the attributes that consist in God, that upon investigating them leaves you with a desire to praise him, to worship him, is called his glory. The Greek is doxa, and doxa is a similar expression, except that for doxa now it talks of radiance and splendor. It is not just talking about investigating, but he's talking about flaunting that glory, making it known. So while kabod talks about an awareness of all the attributes that causes for praise, doxa talks about making that praise glorious, announcing it, publishing it. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. The glory of God is a description of every aspect of God that makes him worthy or deserving of praise, deserving of worship, and deserving of honor. Meaning every quality in God that makes him stand out. I like this. Indeed, he is glorious, and there are qualities and attributes in God that makes him glorious. The Bible will describe in a very elaborate way the many things that are in God. Some of them he shared with us, and some he did not. Theologically speaking, there are six attributes that brand God as God, distinct to every other deity, including man. And of those six, he shared three with man, and there are three that he did not share with man. In fact, it's a lot more than that. I'll give you an example. There are certain aspects of God that he shared with man. The Bible calls him light, and he calls man light. Are we together? Yes. But there are certain attributes that God did not share with man. An example, his omniscience. God is omniscient, meaning he is all-knowing. Man is not all-knowing. We see in part, we prophesy in part. Number two, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. The psalmist said, "Where can I hide from your presence?" But man is bound. You can only be in one position at a time. Number three, God is omnipotent, all-powerful. I've spoken once, twice have you heard that power, all power belongs to God, but we are limited. The power comes to us in measures. That is why it can increase. Are we learning now? Praise the name of the Lord. So, having established this, I will go straight to show you four major expressions of God's glory. Now, there are many ways, there are many expressions of God's glory, but for the purpose of shining and revealing his glory upon the earth, there are four cardinal expressions of his glory. If they are not captured and revealed in and through your life, you are not shining, you are not glorifying the Lord. There's a plethora of attributes that are consistent in God that, if revealed, will really manifest his glory to men. But of all of them, I decided to pick four. If these four attributes are not at work in your life, it cannot be said you are hosting or revealing the glory of God. Are you ready for these four? Please pray in the spirit for 1 minute, crying that the Lord opens your eyes to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. We sing holy, 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 to see you high and lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love. So our main text for this morning says that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, that he desires that it so revealed that it covers the earth like waters the sea. You have to examine that statement, because we are taught that 2/3 of the entire earth is covered with water. It's a degree of influence. It's a demonstration of how much God desires that these attributes find expression. With them will come influence, and that influence will culture men to know God, culture men to love God, culture men to live for God. It's impossible for the ideology of the kingdom to be widespread until these attributes are on full display from every believer. Are we together? When these attributes become scarce, God consciousness will also be scarce. Are we together? And then people will not be able to come into that experiential knowledge of God. And like I told us, because it is a mandate, as you listen to this, I'm not giving you an opinion. I'm announcing to you what the template of your life should be from now. And if it's been so, then you press to make it in an ever-increasing dimension. Because the glory that we have received is the glory that excels. You should never be at the same level. Are we together now? Yes. The glory that excels. Number one, the first expression of God's glory, if we must shine as light, if the nations must see His hand upon our lives and praise God, the first expression of that glory is called Christ-like character. Please write this down. Christ-like character. Christ-like character. Christ-like character. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17. We'll read from verse 17. It's a long read. Please be patient. I was so blessed when Pastor Yemi David was speaking, because he was already helping me to sort this first point. Are we together? That you cannot say you are manifesting the glory of God until the attributes of Christ-like character emanates from you in order of spiritual priority. The real proof that you are a carrier and a revealer of the glory of God is not just speaking in tongues. It's not even just the works of your hands. You must be able to parallel the nature of Christ as proof that you have received that nature indeed. It must move past the realm of confession. It must become your experience. Now, the truth is that we come from different cultures with different experiences, good and bad and everything in between. When you come into Christ, you have also come into a kingdom, and that kingdom has a nature, that kingdom has a culture. Are we together now? And you must be able to walk with the Spirit of grace to grow yourself into a point where you can reveal character that is foreign to your background. For instance, you came from a family where anger is prevalent, hatred is prevalent. When you come into Christ, you are not given the liberty to carry those things along indefinitely. God can permit you to start knowing that His Spirit will walk upon you. Are we together? But after an allotted time, if you remain that way, you are frustrating this assignment of revealing God's glory. There should be a cutting away of that old man, so that although you come from this family widely known for anger, widely known for jealousy and unforgiveness, your life becomes very different. It is distinctively different, and you can tell people that this one is a product of the Spirit of God at work in me. Who is learning? Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Be patient as I read. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. It's all right to give us NKJV since you understand it better. It still works within my explanation, so that you look at it very well. Now, verse 8. It says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their mind. 19. It says, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. Take note now. It says, but you have not so learned Christ. He's speaking to believers. 21. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus Christ, it says that you put off. Say, I put off. Say, I obtain grace to put off. It says, concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, it says, and that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Are we still here? 25. Therefore, putting away lying. Now he's sampling some of these attributes that are common to the old man. And he talks about lying. He says, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. 26. Then he now says, be angry. He's speaking anger. These are not the only attributes, but he's speaking some to represent what he says to cut off together with the old man. Be angry, he says, and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath. 27, he says, nor give place to the devil. And then he says, let him who stole. He's speaking to believers. Let him who stole steal no more. You know there are many ways to steal. Covetousness is stealing. You only stole with your mind. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Verse 29. Now notice the progression. Talks about lying, talks about anger, talks about stealing. Then he now goes to corrupt words, and pastor made mention of that while teaching. He says, let no corrupt word, meaning have authority over your words, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. 30. And do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Two more verses and we're done. It says, let all bitterness, come on now, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, help me, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Final verse 32. It says, and be ye kind. You see, I like Paul. Paul doesn't just tell you what to put off. He tells you what to replace it with. That all of these terrible things, he says, put them off. And then he says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Say, I receive grace to manifest the character of Christ. Very simple but profound. Say it again. I receive grace to manifest the character of the Christ. That people don't have to see you and wait until you pray in tongues before they verify that you're a Christian. They don't have to wait until you hold a Bible or quote a scripture. Are we together? That you exude the presence, the nature of God is at work in your life. Whereas the former you would lash on anybody who said anything offensive, the renewed you has been cultured into a lifestyle that is godlike in every ramification. And the truth is that there are many believers who do not believe they can be free from anger. They have explained to God and said, just bear with me like that. I'm not planning to change. Just forbear, because this anger thing, I can't live it. This jealousy, this envy, this bitterness. But I'm telling you, if you desire to see the glory of God, do you know there are more people who have lost contracts as a result of the absence of a Christ-like nature than incompetence? You ask many professionals, you get to a point in your career where they are not looking for your transactable skill again. They are searching for the fruit of the Holy Spirit only under the guise of business names. They say someone who needs to be discreet, someone who needs to be well behaved. It's just a business way of saying they are looking for God in a man. And to the degree to which they find you, that would make for your increase. You get to a point where if it's PhD, everybody has it. If it's knowledge, everybody has it. If it's the professional training, everyone has traveled where you've traveled to. So what defines you is the nature of God. This is what everyone is looking for. Are we together? When a man says, I'm looking for a well-behaved woman, what he's saying is, I'm looking for the nature of Christ, that attribute of his glory. When a woman says, I don't want to marry a stupid man, I don't want to marry an irresponsible man, it's just a harsh way of saying, I'm looking for Christ in a man. If someone says, I want a secretary who I can trust, who is kind, who is diligent, do you see that what we really look for in men is God. We call it different names. Why are people locked up in prison? They have manifested such satanic attributes that the government decided to keep them in one place. Are we together? Even though they are unbelievers. The day the prisoner begins, what is rehabilitation? Using a human way to produce God in men. That's it. When you rehabilitate people, what are you attempting to do? You are trying to use psychology, use all kinds of things, and I'm not against that. But of course, you know they are far inferior to God's method of transformation. Are we together now? Yes. To the degree to which you look like God, the same way they look for him, men will look for you. They won't know why they are looking for you. The same hunger in man to seek God is the same hunger that drives men to seek those who look like him. This is very powerful. Very powerful. The more you manifest that godlike attribute, the more you believe you are favored. Because the same way people long for God, they cannot explain why. It's programmed in all men to seek God. When a man becomes the truest representation of God in nature and character, men will want to be around you. They will employ you over jobs that you are not necessarily qualified in because you have supplemented your intellectual deficiency with such a display of godlike attributes. Are we learning? You are not manifesting the glory of God if your character is still bankrupt, if he's still bankrupt of a godlike character. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus. You see, when it has to do with this character thing, there are no masters in character. There can be masters, champions in various things, but not character. Because we live in a world that can annoy you every day. Every day. Every day. Are we together? Someone says Hosanna, next person says crucify him. And you have to live in between all these people. And the higher you grow, the more you are able to see the weakness and the deficiencies of men. Because you are in an altitude where it's easy to see those who don't listen, those who don't learn. As a pastor, you can imagine investing your time and energy counseling someone and he leaves to do exactly what you want him to do. And then he returns back to you again. Then he does it again. Then he does it again. At that point, you don't need forgiveness. You need forbearance. Are we learning now? Lay your hand on your chest and say, Father, like you believe. Say, Father, I receive grace to manifest God-like character as a revelation of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so let me tell you sincerely, beyond psychology and, you know, trying to withdraw gradually, you can come to the Spirit of God and ask him to nail to the cross once and for all every attribute in you that is inconsistent with the character of Christ as revealed in Scripture. Don't allow people tell you, of course, from a psychological standpoint, it is gradual, but I'm telling you the truth, the Holy Spirit can nail it to the cross. Every believer you see who is a worthy portrait of Christ, they were not born that way. The same temptation for anger, they have that propensity, only that the Holy Spirit has re-engineered their understanding such that those things does not have power over them again. Instead of being angry, the person can just smile because he sustains a more superior orientation. Instead of anger, it's been replaced with compassion. Who is learning? You don't like what I'm saying? Please like it all in the name of Jesus. If it is the manifestation of the glory of God you want to see. Are we together? I'm not talking about money yet and jobs yet. Character. Let's nail this one so that we get it out of the way. So attribute, expression of God's glory, number one is Christ-like character. Christ-like character. If you've offended someone, make sure after this service you send the person a text and say, I came to church this morning and you can't imagine what I had. The fear of the Lord followed by character. Look, let's get this done. I'm sorry, I didn't think this way, whatever it is. Whether they reply or not, you've done your due diligence. You are becoming like Christ. Are we together? Maybe some husband needs to tell his wife, I'm sorry. It's been 2 weeks we are not talking together. Let's stop this childishness. It's the devil. The devil is between two of us, and I'm sorry. It's as simple as that. Amen. Number two. The second expression of God's glory that must be captured in your life for it to be said you are revealing the glory of God is wisdom. Write that down. Please, wisdom. Wisdom. Powerful wisdom. Proverbs 24:3-4. Proverbs 24:3-4. The Bible says through wisdom. Can we have Amplified? I'd like you to read what Amplified says. Very profound. Amplified. All right, let's read together. Just verse 3, Amplified. 1, 2, go. And godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family is built, and by understanding it is established on sound and good foundation. Verse 4, it says, and by knowledge its rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Through wisdom. What is wisdom here? Wisdom here is beyond the application of knowledge. When we talk about the wisdom of God, we are talking about it's a deeper meaning to just the application of knowledge. Generally speaking, we define wisdom as the accurate application of knowledge or a scriptural solution to any and all problems and situations. All of these definitions are wonderful, but wisdom here we're talking about is an impartation. You see, the wisdom of God here talks about the capacity to comprehend the ways of God. We're talking about the body of knowledge, the body of spiritual truth that elevates the believer to a point where you function in dominion experientially. That wisdom is what the Bible calls marvelous light. We considered that yesterday, that we have been called to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Is a body of knowledge allotted for the dominion of the saints. The wisdom of the Christ is at work in you to the degree to which God has worked upon your understanding to comprehend the ways of God, to comprehend the mysteries of the kingdom, such that by them you are able to transmute dominion upon the earth. It's called wisdom. Is someone learning? Wisdom. So we're not just talking of common sense or the ability to do things in a smart way. It goes beyond that. Proverbs chapter 8 from verse 15. Let's hear what the Bible says about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8. By me, wisdom is speaking now, kings reign and rulers decree justice. 16. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. 17. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Verse 18, reading to 21. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Verse 19. My foot is better than gold. Can you imagine? Yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Verse 20. I traverse the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of justice. It says that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that they may fill their treasuries. This dimension of wisdom I'm talking about has proof. There are many things that prove the presence of wisdom. Number one, wisdom speaks of excellent things. You know you are a carrier and a possessor of God's wisdom by the superiority of your decisions. If your decisions are inferior based on the consequences that follow, you lack the wisdom of God. Are we together? Anyone who possesses the wisdom of God that wisdom must translate into superior decisions. By now you know that decisions decide destiny. And I'm telling you, some of you right now online and here seated this morning, you need to cry to God, because if you are to examine your decisions, say from December till now, more than 90% of your decisions have landed you in trouble, cut away right relationships from you. It means that those decisions, even though well-intentioned, do not come from wisdom. Wisdom will always be justified by the superiority of the decisions. Are we together? They came to Jesus one time and said there was a woman who was caught in adultery in the very act of it. How many of you know that they didn't care about the woman nor what she did? It was a way to trap Jesus Christ. And now Jesus was faced with a situation where both yes and no would cause him trouble. And the Bible says he was patient for a while, writing on the ground. He lifts up his eyes and says, "He who is without sin among you should cast the first stone." And look how powerful that display of wisdom was, because the conviction started from the oldest. Because the older you are, the more you need repentance, forgiveness, and all of that. So it started from the oldest, and every one of them dropped the stone and left. And he says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" He says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." That's wisdom. Hallelujah. One time a king had a dream, forgot his own dream, and called everybody and said, "If you can't tell me what I dreamt, I will kill you." Thank God we don't live in those days. Can you imagine how wicked those kings? You went to bed by yourself and you slept and you were careless to forgive your dream. You didn't punish yourself. Are we together? Gathered all these wise men, necromancers, astrologers, and they could not get anything. And Daniel said, "King, don't be hasty." He said, "Give me time." And he went back, accessed the wisdom of God. The Bible says, then the secret was revealed unto Daniel. When he came out and he shared that dream with the king was amazed. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. A dimension of wisdom beyond that which you got from school, beyond that which has come from your enlightenment, you will begin to manifest it from today. That men will say, "What wisdom is this?" In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Wisdom is directly responsible for the building of anything. The attribute that is ready for, that is responsible for systematizing your life, is wisdom. When you see an organization built, it's a product of wisdom. When you see a life built, it's a product of wisdom. Wisdom is always connected to mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty works. Mighty works. Wisdom. We're talking yesterday very briefly with Pastor after service, and we're discussing some of the high-rise buildings in Dubai, and you know, the level of engineering and, you know, a stretch of human wisdom that was invested in those structures. These are people who do not, they've not directly sought assistance from the Holy Spirit. And yet that's how far man, using the human wisdom, can go to. Imagine what happens to the believer when you outsource wisdom from God. I've done a teaching on that, and respectfully, let me recommend that if you do have the time, you may want to listen to it. It's called the hidden wisdom of God. The word hidden there does not mean concealed. It means classified. It's a military term. That means everybody's destiny, by the predetermined counsel of God, the strategy for your victory is already written and scripted, stored in a library in God's mind. And the only person who has access to that information is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he can search the mind of God and find out what strategy is allotted for your victory per time, and he reveals it to you. Someone shout wisdom.
Wisdom.
One more time.
Wisdom.
Like you are receiving it.
Wisdom.
Hallelujah. Wisdom is powerful. Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9. Wisdom can be imparted. A man can receive wisdom through the study of the word. A man can receive wisdom through the impartation from those who visibly, evidently carry that wisdom. The Bible says, now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. How did he get it? For Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him, as did the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Through words, through the laying on of hands, someone can receive an impartation of the spirit of wisdom, and it will begin to manifest. You see, unlike other attributes that take time, wisdom speaks immediately. If it lands on you, the result shows. Are we together now? The quality of your decisions, the mighty works that come from you, small you, ordinary you, very unassuming you, but the works stand to speak that there's wisdom, ancient wisdom at work in you. Let me prophesy over someone in the name of Jesus, over your business, over your family, over the works of your hands. The realm of ordinary results, may it come to an end from now. You rise, you are elevated by wisdom. You begin to function at a level that is God class in the name of Jesus Christ. Mighty works, superior decisions, excellent things. Help that gentleman under the anointing in the name of Jesus. I speak it from the depth of my heart, and I pray for you the grace that elevates men in the name of Jesus. As wise as the gods, it was said of Daniel. I decree and I declare, begin to step into a realm of superior wisdom. Hallelujah. Please be seated. You want to make the glory of God manifest. You want to shine. It is by wisdom. The Magi were called wise men. There's a reason why they were called wise men. Even though they were astrologers, they were able to use planetary bodies to interpret times and seasons. It was level of knowledge that was not affordable to the common man, and so they called them wise men. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, Deuteronomy? Help me. They that be wise. I missed the scripture. Daniel, not Deuteronomy, Daniel. Daniel 12 and verse 3. Daniel 12 and verse 3. Those who are wise, what will be their proof? They will reverse the equation. Those who want to shine must be
wise.
There is no shining until there is wisdom. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars, even forever. Welcome to your season of shining.
Yeah.
It will become evident beyond argument, that the wisdom of God as an attribute of his glory is manifested in your life. Some of you who deal with things that require creativity, you will begin to step into levels of uncommon creativity. I'm speaking into someone, uncommon creativity. I speak to businessmen. Welcome to a season of extraordinary solutions. Extraordinary solutions. In the name of Jesus. That your company will trust you with difficult things, and you will go back through the spirit of wisdom. You will reveal, you will manifest extraordinary solutions. Your directors will be compelled to say, God is with you. We may not fear God, but we cannot deny that his hand is upon you. You believe that? Say amen. Please be seated. Wisdom. Cry for wisdom. Wisdom is one attribute of God that the secular world cannot deny. They cannot deny. You want the secular world to respect your God, there must be a display of wisdom. Wisdom beyond the realm of science. Are we together? Yes. Number three, for sake of time, very quickly. You desire to see and make the glory of God manifest in and through your life. Power is the next expression of God's glory. Power. Power. Someone say power.
Power.
When I talk of power, don't just limit it to falling down and signs and wonders. It's way beyond that. Power is the ability to compel compliance. Is the force that compels compliance. Hallelujah. In its simplest definition, power is the force that compels compliance. When you are able to tame life, when you are able to tame the vicissitudes of life and everything around you and force it to comply to that which is written, you are powerful. The proof that you are powerful is not as loud as you talk. No. Result is proof of power. Where you are able to tame life like an animal and force it to respond to the speakings of the word. The real proof of power, in fact, the most visible proof of power is seen in Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'll read from verse 1 to 4. Let me show you what power looks like, so that it begins to manifest in your life from today, in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I hope you know that that creation happened by power. The psalmist said, our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Verse 2. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered round the face of the waters. Now, watch power in action. Verse 3. And God, talk to me, believers, and God, he said, let there be light, and there was light. When your sayings bring result, you are powerful. When your speaking deliver results, you are powerful. Are we together? The real proof of power is that your words always bring back returns. When you speak, it returns with power. God said, and there was. Verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good. When you say and it happens and you see that what you have said is good, you are powerful. Hallelujah. Of all the channels for releasing the power of God, and you believe me, I know what I'm saying. Of all the channels for releasing the power of God, the most potent is your words. The laying on of hands, it's a channel, contact and transfer, mantles and all of that, but the greatest of them, and that's everybody, every believer in Christ has access to that dimension, the ability to speak. When the centurion met Jesus, if you recall, he said, I have, my child is dying, and Jesus said, I will honor you, I will go to your house. He said, no, there is something I understand about power. He said, you don't have to go. You don't have to go. If you go, you will use your hand. But there is a more superior tool for making this available. He said, speak the word only. He said, I will tell you where my knowledge came from. I am a man under authority. By reason of my military training, I've been trained to understand the power of words. I can say to one, based on my ranking, go and he will go, come and he will come. And if he does not comply, the authority that accredited me will deal with that person. So Jesus, I know that you are not on your own. You are also under the authority of the Father. And that when you speak, the powers of heaven also backs you. And Jesus says, who taught you this? Who taught you this? I've not found such understanding. No, not in Israel. That a man understands the potency of words. You want to manifest the glory of God? The ability to speak. That I'm not just talking about speaking prophetically in terms of revelation. That's wonderful. You can tell someone, I see God lifting you tomorrow, and you are right. I'm talking about creating possibilities that have no business existing in the lives of people. The creative power of the spoken word. Someone comes to you and says, by tomorrow my life is finished, I'm in debt, I'm going to prison. And he said, not when you met me. I am a revealer of the glory of God. I'm not just a staff in this company. And let me show you something beyond the realm of salary. Come, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare. And with words, you program a climate of favor. That person will leave, and all of a sudden someone says, I've been looking for you. No, the man was not looking for him. The words made the man to look for him. Your words are prophetic. Your words are creative. they can be empowered, endued with power. Are we together now?
Yes.
Honestly, let me tell you the truth. The world we live in right now is in desperate need to see a display of God's power. And whilst we have done well, particularly in church, you know, if someone starts shouting now, falling down and all of that, you know, most of us just say, wow, there's power here. I mean, this man of God is powerful. And you are right. But you see, the world does not come to church. So they need a dimension of power they can relate with. And it comes through words. The wisdom of God is there speaking, but power creates possibilities. In the name of Jesus, let me use that ability for 1 minute and speak over someone. I don't care what the situation is in your life. In the name that is above all names, I pray for you. Whatever needs to change in your life between now and the end of this Accelerate conference, I declare, let change happen. Let change happen. Let change happen. Let change happen in your body. Let change happen over your finances. Let change happen in the name of Jesus. Hear me. I speak to you prophetically. Anyone who needs to connect with you for the next season of your life, while you are here in church, busy about learning and building capacity, I gravitate them by prophecy to your life. I gravitate them by prophecy to your business in the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. No wonder the Bible says, for by your words you are justified. It says, and by your words you are condemned. Did it not say death and life are in the power of the tongue, and that they that love it will eat the fruit thereof? Let the redeemed of the Lord not just say so, create those possibilities. Every believer was ordained to be a talking spirit. And to the degree to which you learn to speak, life careers speak in a certain way. I think it's Isaiah 8 and verse 2. I hope I got that right. It says, and if you do not speak after this manner, it is because there is no light in them. Hallelujah. Did I get that right? Please search it for me. If they do not speak according to these words, it is because there is no light in them. When there is light in you, there is a way you speak, and there is a way you do not speak. You never speak words of defeat, because the realm of the spirit is obedient to words. Good. Verse 20. Thank you very much. Let's read it together. And to the law and to the testimony, it says, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light. Let me interpret for you what this means. When you find yourself speaking in a certain way, you are already diagnosing your spiritual condition, that the reason why you are speaking in such a defeated way is because there is no light in you. For instance, this is not for people like us. For instance, it is killing me. It is killing you. And the realm of the spirit obediently begins to create the scenery that makes what you have said to come to pass. The Bible says, say not before an angel, I made a mistake. Let me tell you how believers speak. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? 1,000 shall fall by my side. This is not Pentecostal gibberish. This is how we program our possibilities. Are we together? You sow into your tomorrow by speaking. You activate the blessing at work in your life by speaking. Speak the word only, he says. Speak the word. I get up in the morning. This is the day the Lord, not the Lord and Satan, the Lord has made. Satan had to wait for the Lord to make the day to attack. My interest was captured in the making of that day. I don't expect it to be a disadvantage. My waking up should not be a disadvantage. It's the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And everything programmed to cause me pain, in the name of Jesus, I clear it out of the way. Are we together now? Gentiles, come to my light, and kings to the brightness of my rising. For my shame I receive double. And perhaps you are going through a dark season. Announcing the season, regretting it, does not change it. So here's how you speak. that I know that my affliction, which is for a moment, that it worketh in me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while I look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change, but the things that are unseen are... Yes, sir. All the days of my appointed time I wait. I know that my God is coming through. Are we together now? They diagnose you with a medical report. You don't need to go around harassing the doctor. It's not his fault. He's just telling you what the machines told him. So you appreciate him, but you go back, you shut your door like Hezekiah and say, Lord, do the dead praise you? I'm alive because I live for your glory. And I'm praying and asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you extend my life according to your good word. Praise the name of the Lord. No, you refuse to fear. I reject fear. I reject fear. You get up in the morning and you're pressing and you're seeing some growth, some things, and the devil is saying, aha, exactly, like mother, like daughter. And he said, depends on which parent you are talking about. Because I've been called out of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Always have the last talk. It's recorded. He's declared over my life that I shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth. Not some, all. All. And that these blessings will come upon me and overtake me. Is it not written that everywhere the sole of your feet shall tread upon, it's been given to you for an inheritance? No. You move with humility, but not with a second-class mentality. Hallelujah. You carry the robe and the honor of royalty. Even Mordecai, as weak as he was, listen, he was weak as a person, but Mordecai, as weak as he was, when it was time to elevate him, the king gave him his chariot, wore his robe upon him, and commanded everybody, bow the knee. And he said, this is what the king does to a man he delights to honor. Power. You cannot manifest the glory of God until his power is visibly evident through your life. The ability to change situations and circumstances through the spoken word. It is not unusual for the believer to be challenged. This is where dominion comes in. The possibility for dominion does not exist if there's no contention. Your ability to tame life through the written word. That's where power, the excellency of power comes. So don't complain about what is happening. Change it. Revelation 5:10, we have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign, not in heaven, upon the earth. Do you believe this? So a quick recap. The four dimensions that express the glory of God. Number one, Christ-like character. Number two, wisdom. Number three, power. I'll soon give you number four and we'll wrap up. But I want to dwell a bit on this power. Let me tell you the truth. Remember I taught you yesterday that God is a God of patterns. And whilst it is your inheritance to walk in power, you must understand the dynamics that activate it. Number one is prayer. The ministry of prayer that edifies your spirit. A man who is not invested in prayer cannot walk in spiritual power. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up your spirit, man. Enlarging your capacity in the spirit. Number two, the depth of your consecration. There is a culture that preserves power. Are we together now? The depth of your consecration. And by consecration, I'm not just talking of abstinence alone. I'm talking about your devotion too. Your devotion. Consecration is twofold. Abstinence from all appearance of evil and then total devotion to God. If you have done well in abstinence and your devotion is wanting, you are still not consecrated. Number three, the time that is spent in the Word. Because the word of God captures the power of God. Habakkuk chapter 4. When you read, I think from verse 3, the Bible talks about the hiding place of his power through the light. Amplified puts it beautifully there. It talks about the the sun-like splendor that emanates from his hand. And he says, there, within that light, is the hiding place of his power. God's power hides in his light. Hides in his light. You cannot be a powerful believer if you do not invest time in prayer. Listen carefully. If you do not value and guard by the grace of God your consecration, and if you don't obtain grace to stay with the word, the power that is derived from the word is called exousia. Exousia is where we get the word authority, and the dimension of power that connects to exousia is called kratos, the power that is derived from the knowledge of the word. Are we together now? Every time you learn the word of God, there is an investment of knowledge that translates to authority. So you speak as one who is knowledgeable. Power. I'm praying for you that beginning from tonight, you will not join the world to cry over situations. But that in the name of Jesus, once you are constrained in any way, you use the power of God that is invested in you to shape your realities. One way we receive power and grow in power is through impartation from the carriers of that grace. Power is likened to oil. In the parable of the 10 virgins, they had the lamp, which is a type of the word, but they lack extra oil. And in recommending a solution for them, he said, go to them that sell and buy. He didn't just say go to God. Go to them. There are them that sell. There are custodians of the oil. You buy with humility. You buy with meekness. You don't buy with mundane currencies like naira and kobo and dollars. You buy with humility. You buy with passion. Are we together? Believe me, when it has to do with the business of power, there are them that sell. If it's not at work in your life, it's not at work in your life. The power of God is in dimensions and it's in levels. Dimensions talks about the possibilities, healing, prosperity, increase. Are we together? But then the various levels, you can have more of the same level. I'll give you an instance. If you are holding 1,000 naira, you are holding the Nigerian naira. Am I right on that? If you are holding 1 million naira, you are holding the Nigerian naira. If I say all those who are holding the Nigerian naira stand up, you will stand up. But at the point of purchase, that's when we'll know the difference between what two of you are holding. So for one person, your limit is 1,000. You stand there helpless, even though you are holding money. There are things it cannot buy. So grace and peace can be multiplied. You can be infused with greater dimensions of power, affording you the opportunity to manifest greater possibilities. Who is learning? I'll give you the final one and then we're done. I hope you're learning something. Yeah. That if the glory of God is to be made manifest, number one, it is revealed through the Christ-like character, the nature of God, regardless your background. Number two, wisdom. Number three, number four, wealth. You cannot say you are revealing the glory of God, no matter how modest you are in your definition of glory. You cannot bypass the subject of wealth. Wealth and riches here is beyond just money, as you know. Are we together? When I talk about wealth and riches in this context, I'm talking of sufficiency. You know what sufficiency is? The ability to rise to any occasion, never disappointing. This is what the Bible calls wealth. Wealth is beyond dollars and naira. It's even beyond real estate and investments. Wealth is the spiritual wherewithal that causes you to always be sufficient. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. I'm working on borrowed time. My apologies for stretching you all. Let's read. Can we read the Amplified Version? Media, please help us with the Amplified. I want everyone to have perspective on this. Ready? Let's read. One, two, go. To make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come in abundance to you, so that you under... Stop. Don't rush that scripture. Take note of that expression. Under what?
including Nigeria 2025, under all circumstances. This is what it means to manifest the wealth of the kingdom. Under all circumstances, it says, regardless of the need, you have complete sufficiency in everything. Psalm 112 says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, the one who delights greatly in his commands. He said, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Then he says, the generation of the upright shall be blessed. He now says, wealth and... You are a very enlightened church. I don't need to bore you with telling you the difference between riches and wealth. Riches merely talks of abundance of financial resources. But wealth goes further to talk about systems that guarantee its continuity and replenishing. I've studied wealth a bit. The greatest secret of wealth is the ability to replenish. If no matter how fruitful you are, if you lack the ability to replenish, you are not wealthy. No, you are not. Your money will only finish slowly, but it will finish. The moment you overcome the hurdle of fruitfulness, your next assignment is to contend for the ability to replenish. You know the reason why many politicians are givers? Because there is a corrupt system that guarantees replenish. You know the reason why we do not fight over the air we breathe? Because programmed within that system is the ability to replenish. So there's no scarcity mentality as far as breathing is concerned, because of the ability to replenish. Every time, subconsciously or physically, you are aware that you do not sustain the ability to replenish, it will determine, it will affect the degree to which you release. Everybody is a giver. It's just the fear of the strategies for replenishing that is not there. Are we together? It's the reason why we easily give the things we are sure we can replenish. Kindness, advice. But for money and the rest, we don't give it because... I leave you to your pastor and the lecture he'll give you on finances. Now, but there are many believers who get embarrassed when we talk about the subject of finance. You know why we are not ashamed to teach these things? Because there is already a background that everything you have is as a tool to reveal His glory. And once that is sorted, then you are not ashamed of stretching your desires and your expectations. The difference between lost carnality and a kingdom-driven pursuit is that one is an end to itself for self-aggrandizement, whereas the other is as a tool to reveal His glory. But let me tell you this, no matter how modest you want to approach your life, please make it a point of duty to not be poor. Listen to this as an advice. Don't wait until pain forces you to lend this. This has nothing to do with liking money. Many things will go wrong in your life when you are poor. Are we together? Money is not everything, but a major part of your needs will depend on money. Shine away from it. Good luck. I'll be glad to pray for you. Hallelujah. Our world is economically driven, and I'm telling you, I think refusing to prosper, if you understand God's program and you understand the implication of true prosperity, is irresponsibility. It's selfishness, in fact, because at every point in your life, there are people who are connected to you, and they are connected to everything God gives you. And for the sake, even if not for your sake, for the sake of God's program and for the sake of those around you. I'm not talking about a blind pursuit for money, a marketing of self and carnality. This conference is holding right now. I can imagine the millions that has been invested to making this happen. I told you, you may have heard me say that wealth, true kingdom wealth, protects and preserves your integrity. There are few things I know that preserve consecration and integrity like wealth. Wealth is a defender of convictions. You don't have to change and bend. you can be consistent. If you remain poor indefinitely, eventually you will tell lies, you will steal, and you will compromise. It's the truth. It's the truth. Many people's destinies have been relocated today because of lack of money. When Satan wants to destroy people, he will bait them with resources and move them away from God's prophetic program. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus that there will be an emergence of purpose-driven believers. Believers who can tame this thing called poverty without wealth eating their passion for God. That they can approach the subject of wealth in such a responsible way that they become so wealthy to live lives of dignity, to advance the program of God, and to be a blessing to the world. If I just defined you, shout amen. As for me, I made up my mind first for myself and then for the people God had granted me and has granted me the privilege to lead, that I will never raise a people who are only spiritually vibrant. I believe in influence. I believe in wealth. I've seen the role that it's played. We just returned from a conference in the UK, and I know how it was not just the power of God that was revealed. It was the glory of God by all this definition I told you. Refuse to be poor. Say it. Don't mind your mind. Say it. I refuse it. The reason why I refuse it is because of the effect it brings to my life and to God's program. The name of Jesus is very heavy. It takes financial resources to lift it high with integrity for the nations to see. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So let's do a quick recap and then we'll pray for 2 minutes and I'm done. That the knowledge of the glory of the Lord according to God's desire should cover the whole earth as waters the sea. And I told you that in God's economy, He does not just desire that we be possessors of His glory. The glory of God, meaning every attribute in God that upon investigation causes you to praise Him, causes you to fear Him, and causes you to honor Him. Do not forget this. The glory of God should not remain an abstract concept in your mind. Are we together? The glory of God is a capture of all the dimensions of God, the qualities of God, that if and when you investigate will leave you with a desire to love Him, to praise Him, to honor Him, His wisdom, His goodness. And we sampled 4 of them. Number 1, we talked of His nature, Christ-like character. You are not manifesting the glory of God until His character swallows up every attribute of flesh, the weakness, the encumbrances that come with the fallen nature. Number 2, wisdom. The wisdom of God there being beyond a scriptural solution to problems or the right application of knowledge. We're talking of a compendium of the classified wisdom of God, ordained for your glory, the Bible says. The word classified means it only responds to demand, and it is only privy to a group of people. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has in store for them that love Him. He says, but God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit has the unique ability to search the mind of God and download solutions that are bespoke to your life per time, per season. It's called the hidden wisdom of God. Number 3, power. In all its ramification, power, the ability to bear supernatural solutions is called power. The ability to force compliance is called power. And that there are many channels for transmuting power, but the most potent channel for transmuting power is through speakings, through words. I am a man under authority, having people under me. I say to one, go, and he goeth. To the other, come, and he comes. He says, speak the word only. Hallelujah. And then, of course, finally, wealth. Oh, that one is a serious one. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are going to pray these 4 dimensions. I don't know which one is not at work in your life, but if you desire to shine, to rise and shine according to Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, It says, arise. It says, shine, for your light has come. Amplified says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light. Rise to a new light. Rise to a new light. Please rise up on your feet. Hold hands with someone by your left and right if you can. And thank you for sparing me a few minutes. I want us to pray in the spirit for 1 minute, and then we'll just pray these attributes I speak over your life and we're done. Hold someone's hand and let's pray. Go ahead and pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Shalimaranto sabragadabalaka paradosiata. Grata sedeketebeleke parato sadiva shanabalakatasiata. Until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth like waters the sea. Shapantaska legrenteke parantoskiata. I have been ordained to bring you glory. I have been ordained to bring you glory. I have been ordained for glory. I have a mandate to make the glory of God that is locked up within me manifest, so the nations can see him glorified. They can see him revealed through my life. Go ahead and pray. Now begin to pray these dimensions of glory, that they'll be trapped within your spirit and revealed through your spirit to the nations. Go ahead and pray. By the agents of the spirit manifesting Christ-like character, the character of love, of kindness, of goodness, of gentleness, the fruit of the spirit. Are you praying now? I obtain grace by the enablement of the spirit of God to manifest Christ-like character, that when men see you and I, they will know that we are of God in experience. Not just when we pray in tongues, not just because we hold Bibles. The depth of the character, the richness of the character of the Christ, flowing like a river to our spirit man. Flowing like a river to our spirit man. Love one for another. Love for God. Passion for the things of God. Kindness. Empathy. Void of offense, void of anger, void of jealousy, void of lusts in all its ramifications. Number two, cry for wisdom. Father, it's time to demonstrate the wisdom of the Spirit through my life. Wisdom translated to mighty works. Wisdom justified by the superiority of my decisions. Someone is praying. Shaleke parantas kataparanta kaparakatos yata lakrapata kataparantos kiata. Wisdom, wisdom that comes from above, wisdom imparted by the Spirit of God, extraordinary solutions, superior ideas. Aperatos kalikata. I'm telling you are receiving by the Spirit of God. You go ahead and pray. I receive wisdom by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I receive wisdom for the next level. I receive wisdom for exploits. Wisdom by the Spirit of God. No more inferior decisions. No more self-sabotaging decisions. Superior decisions in quality, manifesting the wisdom of the Spirit. Pray for power. Pray for power. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. Surely I am full of the Spirit of power. I am full of power by the Spirit of God. Surely I am full of power by the Spirit of God. Surely I am full of power by the Spirit of God. Power to tame life, to tame the vicissitudes of life, to compel compliance, to say to one, to say to things that they go and that they go. Supernatural power. Holy Ghost power, the ability. Help those under the anointing. Pray for power, Holy Ghost power upon your life. Rakatoshka brantes katabelentos. Rapagata brantakata brakata belaka perakates. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Spirit. Power of the Holy Ghost. Please pray. Let me have your attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Mary said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? It says the power of the highest shall overshadow you. I'd like you to pray for the last point, and then I begin to pray over your life and we're done. I'd like you to pray for the grace to prosper, the power to prosper. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. It says, thou shalt remember the Lord your God. Please look at me. Look at me. Hold on, gentlemen. We're wrapping up. Let me teach you something about the power to prosper. Let me have your attention, please. The power to prosper has nothing to do with money. The power to prosper is the grace for advancement. Are we together now? When the power to prosper is upon you, it forbids stagnation. It insists that you go forward. Are we together? The power to prosper works threefold. Number one, the power to prosper rests upon your mind. It affects your thinking. It alters the way you perceive things so that you perceive things from a superior dimension. Job said, in the days of my youth, when the candle of the Lord was upon my tabernacle, there were two kinds of light. The light upon his mind and the light upon his path. The power to prosper brings you illumination, superior dimensions, the fortitude to comprehend things in an unusual way. Number two, the power to prosper rests as the blessing upon the works of your hands. The works of your hands. Number three, the power to prosper breathes upon you to grant you direction. These three things: illumination, the blessing upon the works of your hands. Help those under the anointing. Are we together? So when we say the power to prosper, don't just think the grace that makes someone give you money. That's too inferior. We're talking about the breath of the Spirit upon your mind. It alters you and insists that you think the way of a winner. The power to prosper. Now you pray. 1 minute. I'm out of time. Lift your voice and declare, I receive the power to prosper. I receive the grace for sufficiency. Shabalanta sabaka parakata pata sakata belegata kratakata pata kataprakata balagadosh trashtanda paranta skatapanda kapras. The power to prosper, the grace for sufficiency, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, the grace to think the way of winners, the blessing of the Lord upon the works of your hands, strategic direction, the Lord being your shepherd, guiding you per season, per time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I pray for you. It's time to receive now. I'm standing in partnership with the grace, the angel over this house, and under the corporate anointing of all the vessels, I stretch my hands towards you. Malisho Brantuskiata, in the name that is above all names, I pray for you. Everything that is of the flesh that does not give you room to manifest the glory of God, I decree and declare that the spirits that are back of those fleshly desires, they are banished from your life forever. Banished from your life forever. Banished from your life forever. Any and all addictions, break right now in Jesus' name. Allowing you the liberty to serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Number two, I pray for you by the mercy of God. Receive an impartation of the Spirit of wisdom. Not assumed wisdom. Wisdom with proof. In the name of Jesus, I leverage on the grace upon your man of God and every vessel that God has invested that grace upon. And I declare upon someone, carry wisdom. Carry wisdom. Wisdom that speaks. Wisdom that elevates. Wisdom that causes you to shine. In the name of Jesus. Number three, according to Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, I decree and declare that beginning from tonight, you are full of power. You are full of power. Your words will not be empty. You will speak and watch things come to pass. I place grace upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. It says, my heart is indicting a good matter. Yeah, I speak of excellent things. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. From today, as you speak, let possibilities begin to manifest. As you speak, let possibilities begin to manifest in the name of Jesus. Finally, I pray for you. This is a church that has been marvelously helped of God. As it has happened in this church, may it happen in your life. Marvelously helped by God. The grace for sufficiency, receive it in the name of Jesus. Like fragrance oozes out of a perfume container, let the glory of God begin to manifest from your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And I decree and declare that through all of the other sessions that connect to this meeting, line upon line, may they be ladders for you, that you will keep climbing until you are truly elevated. That at the end of this conference, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be shining in experience. You go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Wave your hands to Jesus and give him all the praise.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.